Did I preached on time or something here just recently, didn't I? Life is a timeline. Didn't I just preach that? I know I did. And then I made some comments about time in another message just recently. Okay, good. I'll preach to you about time tonight. Whole different message. I've just kind of had it on my mind. Because I'm running out of it, I suppose. But if you open your Bible to Revelation chapter 10. Now, when you read Revelation, of course, when you read Revelation chapter 6, and then you read Revelation chapter 10, anybody that read those things and paid any attention to the words would know that about 90% of the people who write commentaries on the book of Revelation don't have a clue what they're talking about. Because they make the book of Revelation chronological. And it starts and it just goes right through. And if you did that, it would take about 10 and a half years. And of course, you only have 7. Because you actually go through the tribulation period in the book of Revelation 4 times. 4 times. And if you don't make those distinctions, you never can get the thing straight. And that's why there's so much wild speculation and crazy stuff out there. But if you look in Revelation chapter 10, verse 6, the whole thing is over right here. And he sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which therein are, that there should be time no longer. Well, if you don't have any time, what do you got? Nothing. See, I mean, it ends right there. Of course, if you go back to the book of Revelation chapter 6 and get down to the very end of chapter 6, it comes to an end there. See? And then you get over to the bowls and the vials and all that, and it comes to an end in each one of them. So in the book of Revelation, you actually go through the tribulation period 4 times. And then there's a couple of chapters that are what's called parenthetical. They're just added information about what's already been written. And they don't take you through the tribulation at all. So when you pick up a commentary down at the bookstore on the book of Revelation, you just mark it down. The guy that wrote it was a fine fella and loved God and loved the book. He just dumber than a box of rocks. Amen. Now somebody's always going to say, well, now you think you're right and all them guys are wrong. You're absolutely right. That's true. I think I'm right, and they are wrong. Amen. And we've held that position now for well over 20 years, and nobody's ever been able to show us where we're in error. So that's just the way it is. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said he learned more than all of his teachers. So there you go. We're supposed to learn more than you know, if we're taught and we learn, well, sooner or later we ought to learn more than the guy that taught us. I just thought I'd throw that in. Now, the verse said that there should be time no longer. I want to talk to you about time. It's there's a couple things that I find fascinating. I mean, just the concept is just, it captures your mind. If you ever study light, that's the most bizarre thing you've ever looked at in your life. It's just unreal. It has physical properties and spiritual properties. It can be timed, bent, maneuvered, collected, but it can pass right through solid walls without leaving any mark whatsoever, or being slowed down. Explain that. You can take a picture from a machine in outer space of an object millions of miles away, in color and in time, and transmit it via light and print it on a piece of paper, and no matter has changed positions. Figure that out. That's the wildest thing in the world. Light's got all the colors of the spectrum in it. And if you look at light with all the colors, it makes noise called static. But you can separate the colors with a laser. That's what a laser is. Laser is just light that's been cleaned up and amplified. You can separate the colors of the spectrum and burn holes in diamonds. And the light makes no noise. But if you look at it through a spectroscope, all the colors are together, it has radio waves. Can you figure that out? I've been studying that stuff for years. I can't figure it out. And I've been studying the guys that study it for a living. And you know what? They can't figure it out either. It's just the wildest thing you say. Everybody takes light for granted. But light's spiritual and physical. Light has mass. It has matter. It occupies space and it moves in time. But you can't capture it. You can't weigh it. And you can't stop it. Time is kind of like that. Time is just the most fascinating thing. You ever try to define time, figure out how it got started and where it ends? Now, if you read all the science magazines and smart, now those guys are brilliant, but they're educated beyond their intelligence. If somebody will tell you that time is depicted by a circle because it just goes around on and on and on forever, or infinity is like this, like a figure eight laid down on its side. It's without end. And that's the way they depict time. I've always thought that's the most peculiar thing. Why would you do that? Time had a beginning, and time had an end. A circle has no beginning, and it has no end. Time, if you read it in the Bible, time is a straight line. It started here, and it ends here. And he declared that there should be time no more. Now, if it was a circle, you know what would happen? Sooner or later, it would have to repeat itself. People say, well, history repeats itself. Yes, but history is not time. History is a series of events that happened in time. You can repeat an event, but not in the same time. But you got to think. Turn your brain on and think. Time is just, it's the most, one of the most mysterious things known to man. You can't deny that it's real because you exist in it. And everything you know about, everything that is real, that you know anything about, started and stopped and occupies some place in time. Everything. Name me one thing that does not exist, that exists, that doesn't exist in time. I didn't think so. Now, so well, what was before time? Eternity. What is after time? Eternity. Then what is time? Well, I thought, how in the world can I illustrate the reality of time or the duration of time? Like this. If you go to the graveyard and look at the tombstone, it'll say born, and it'll have a date, right? And then it'll say died, and it will have a date. The distance between the born and the died is the time. Got it? It's a measured space in which certain events were occurred, then we stopped counting. Now, time ceased for that individual at death. Time began for that individual at birth. Now, you just transpose that to the universe. Time began when God said start. And time ends when God says stop. But between start and stop, there's just a straight line of time. If you look at the graveyard, the tombstone, our world pre-existed that birth. And it exists after that death. See? So our world, our universe as we know it, looks like eternity. And that time was just a little measured slot for that one life in the world system. Time is just that little slot measured off on each end of eternity. Everybody got it? I hope so. Now, there's some strange things you can do with time. But there are some stranger things you can't do with time. We live in a world where we have certain axioms, certain things that we believe that are so, and they're you can't change them or alter them. They're fixed. And some of those apply to time. For example, there's a couple of things you can't do with time. You can't save it. Anybody got a savings account with time in it? It comes and it goes. And that's all you knew of it. I don't care how hard you try, people say, we're doing this to save time. You may save time to accomplish a deed, but you can't save time as a quantity. It can't be done. It just keeps right on trucking. Here's something else you can't do with time. I don't care how hard you try, you can't reuse it. I mean, you just do all you can do, and you can't reuse it. Now, remember, we were talking about history. People say history repeats itself. A certain event occurs. You can duplicate the event. You can repeat it. Sometimes over and over and over again. But it never, ever reoccurs on the same time. The time that's used for the reoccurrence of the event is new time. Because the time that was there has moved on. Matter of fact, time's in three parts, right? Past, present, and future. Now, if you think about that for a minute, here's how time works. Time past. That's time that has come and gone, and it is never, ever coming back again. Then there's time present. It is here now, but it is leaving. Because it is always on the move. There's a question in the book of Job. I don't know if you, I'm sure you read the book of Job. You may or may not have picked up on the question. There's a question in the book of Job that says, where is the way where light dwelleth? Where does light live? That's a great question, isn't it? The answer is greater. So you have time past. That's time that's come and gone. You have time present. That's the time that is here now, but it's leaving. And you have time future, which is a wish or a hope. 1 second from right now is only a wish. It's a hope. It's not a reality because you haven't got there yet. Now, while it took me 3 or 4 seconds to say that, time passed, and what was in the future is now, or was present, and is now history because it's gone on. Is that not confusing? It's fascinating, isn't it? But you can see how a fella could say that kind of stuff and go boinkers. Now, that hasn't happened to me. Time. You can use it wisely, or you can waste it foolishly, but you cannot hang on to it. You get it once, you have an opportunity to do something with it while you're in it. If you don't, it will be gone, and it won't come back. You can't save it, and you can't reuse it. If there's anything in this world that is a one-time proposition, it's time. Now, you might could say that about light. I'm not sure you could ever get the same light back. There's the possibility of bending light and refracting light and reflecting light. So, theoretically, I suppose that's a possibility, but not so with time. It comes, it's here, and it's gone. Now, so I want to talk to you on a lighter plane about time. While you're living, right now you are enjoying the present. You are looking forward to the future. And if you look back at your past, you have some joy and some regret. That's the common lot of humanity. History is time past. The present is an opportunity to do good or to do evil. The future is an untarnished plate. When it arrives, you have a choice about what you will or will not do with it. And nobody can determine that with your time but you. You can't blame somebody else for it. It was your time. And what you did in your time and with your time, it was entirely up to you. And when you give an account of the time that God gave you, there won't be any shifting blame. There won't be any dodging and ducking and saying it was somebody else's fault or it was your time. Yours and yours alone. And you have to give an account for it. The little poem said, I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny minute, but eternity is in it. Oh, I don't know who wrote that, but it was good. If somebody else hadn't wrote that, I would have. You know, they figure if the average person lives to be 70 years old, here's what you'll do with your time. You spend 23 years sleeping, 19 years working, 9 years playing, 6 years traveling, 6 years eating, 4 years sick, 2 years dressing, and 1 year in the house of God. That's if you come 3 times a week, an hour each time, in 70 years, you would have collected a year's worth of hours. Wow. Isn't it a shame? You know, we owe the Lord a tenth, right? Of our money, of our talent, and of our time. There's 168 hours in a week. 10% of that is 16.8 hours. When's the last time you tithed your time? I didn't think so. You can't get people in church 3 hours a week for services. And if you count all their time praying and reading and witnessing and combined it with their church time, you still wouldn't have 5 hours a week. We run a major league deficit on time for God. You know, people have funny ideas about things. I know a lot of Baptists that don't believe in luck. They think that God is sovereign, well, of course he is. But when they say that, they mean that God controls everything, which I don't believe. God set everything in motion, and God lets everything run according to the laws of nature. Unless God needs to alter them for a particular reason, we call that a miracle. The Bible said time and chance happens to all men. Now, I believe in luck, good luck and bad luck. Sometimes it's just what they call the luck of the draw. They say, oh, the Lord did so-and-so to me. Well, maybe he did, and maybe he didn't. But, you know, if you say that around the average Baptist, that's considered heresy. Now, I tried to explain it to a couple, and I haven't finally quit, you know, because half of them don't think, and the other half are just brain dead. You couldn't teach them nothing if you tried. I got into a big thing a couple of years ago with a couple of great theologians, and they were going to fix my brain because I was all whacked out about luck. Now, I need fixing in some areas. I'm going to tell you I do. But if you want to fix me, bring your lunch. Because I don't fix easy. Now, these guys were trying to show me that everything was related to providence. So I asked him, I said, if I flip a quarter in the air, you're going to tell me that God determines whether it lands heads or tails. Yeah. I said, you're nuts. You need a psych eval. Now listen. I'm not explaining. It's kind of a nice message. I'm just rambling. Let me show you why we believe that there's a thing called luck in time. And it makes sense if you just listen and lay down your presuppositions and stuff. If you go all the way back to the beginning, remember in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? Remember that? Now, God created everything and he put it in exactly the right place. He put it on the exact right line. He put it on the exact right time. Everything was perfect. In the beginning, there was no such thing as luck because everything was perfectly ordered. Everything was where it was supposed to be and operated like it was designed to operate. God looked at it and it was perfect. Okay? There was no slack in the system. It ran like a well-oiled watch. Then we introduced a thing called sin, which the essence of sin is self-will. That's where when God says, this is the way it goes, we say, nope, I'm not going to do it that way, I'm going to do it this way, and we messed it up. Now, we introduced into the system error. Now, in science, there was a law from the dynamics that said if everything you put in motion tends to randomness. That is, an atom, once it starts to move, starts to slow down. And the slower it gets, the more it wobbles, the more unpredictable it becomes. Clocks run down, not up. We had one man and one sin. So, the amount of
error in the system, the amount of slack in the system was minute, which left the system almost perfectly balanced, but not quite. But man began to multiply, and sin increased. And every time you have sin, you induce randomness into the system. It cannot become less predictable. So after a while, it's like you throw a ball in the air, and you say, which way will it bounce when it hits? I don't know. If it hits smooth ground, it bounces straight up. If it hits a rock on the right side, it goes this way. If it hits a rock on the left side, it goes that way. But I don't know where it will land. And I don't know what it hits. That's called randomness. We don't know how it's going to come about. And that's the way the world works anymore because of sin. We introduce randomness into the system. Out in Vegas, they use slot machines. The old ones have wheels in them with three or eight wheels and that kind of stuff, but the new ones are computer controlled. And it has over a billion choices in one slot machine. And nobody knows which one is going to come up because it picks it randomly. They're just flowing by, and the machine grabs that one, and that's the number. And that's the way the world operates anymore. There is so much randomness in the system that it's no longer predictable what the outcome or result will be. That's called luck. Everybody got that? If everything was perfect and worked exactly like it was supposed to, then all things would be predictable. But almost nothing works like it's supposed to anymore. That's randomness. And with randomness, the best you can hope for is lucky break. It'll go your way. Hang on for a minute. That happens in what, though? Eternity hasn't been affected. Eternity still works just like it's supposed to. But time has been messed up. And luck exists in time. Good luck or bad luck. Now, where was that in this message? Now, well, listen to this. The people who argue that there's no such thing as luck, that everything is fixed, and it will occur when it's supposed to, the way it's supposed to. God is sovereign, and everything is predetermined, right? What do you do with this verse? Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 17. Neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Can you explain that? If there's no such thing as luck, if there's no randomness in the system, if everything is preordained and everything works as God planned it and ordained it to be, then you couldn't possibly die before your time. You would have to die at your time. Why? Because it's fixed. But we got all this sin in the world, people disobeying God, doing their own thing. So that now, the whole system got it right. Amen? People say, well, you can't die until it's your time. That's not so. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 17, you can die before your time. And sometimes you can be past your time. And if by reason of thy strength, thy day should be full stone. That's not fixed. That's an aberration in time. So, some of the brethren, you know, God bless them, I love them. They'll spend more time studying and thinking instead of as much time talking and eating cake. A little part of my life. When as a child I laughed and played, and laughed and wept, time crooked. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time worked. When I became a full grown man, time ran. Then, as the years I older grew, time flew. Son, you'll find when I travel on, time gone. Brother, you, the first thing you know, you'll be looking back. Remember when you were young and people say, well, you know, about, let's see, it was about 50 years ago, and so, 50 years ago, trees don't get that old. You know? 50 years ago, dinosaurs still roamed the earth 50 years ago. That's like forever. And now here I am staying. Well, you know, we're thinking about our 50th anniversary. We moved back down here, so that was back in, must have been back in the 70s. Yeah, that's 40 years ago. 42. Where'd you go? You know what we're saying now? Where'd the time go? Remember back when you said, well, we had the best time. Let's go do so-and-so. We have a good time. And now the times are gone. I remember my mother-in-law, sometimes she would kind of, she wasn't bitter, I wouldn't say that. But sometimes she regretted that her time was past and that she couldn't get out and go and do like all her children ought to be doing. I guess that's a natural thing. We're probably all going to do that, you know, when we get to where we can't go and do anymore. And what it is, it's a certain amount of resistance inside, resentment inside, that our time is gone. We had it. We did something with it. But now it's gone. We had our childhood. We had our youth. We had our adulthood. We had our middle age. We had our old age. We had our golden years. And now, Father Time is knocking on the door. Some of us ain't too far away from closing the door on time and opening the door on eternity. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, redeeming the time. What have you done with your time? Now, everybody needs to ask yourself that question. I don't have any more time than you have. You have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Now, you may not have more or less years, but the time that fills those years is the same for everybody. The difference is what everybody does with it. We always sit around and look at people who have been successful and done this and I've done that, and we say, boy, I tell you what, it's amazing what they did in their lifetime. In their lifetime. In their lifetime. And we're either envious of them or proud of them because they did something with the time that they had. Most of the time, the people that are doing that are the people who have the time and did little or nothing with it. And what they're doing is they're envious. They're saying, I wish I had done what they did. I wish I had used the time that I had. Well, here's the truth. You did. We all use our time. Some use it wisely. Some use it foolishly. What'd you do today? Now think about what you did with your time. Don't lie about it. Ain't nobody know that you didn't lie anyway. How much time did you spend praying? How much time did you spend reading your Bible? Did you spend any time helping others? If you get paid to help others, that don't count. How much time did you spend goofing off? How much time you spend on your computer? Newspaper? Taking naps. Just sitting on the porch watching the sun go by. What'd you do with it? Well, you got up this morning, you had time on your hands. You had a whole day in front of it. Now, about 10 o'clock, some of it was history. Only a second or two was present, and the rest was still future. It was just wishful thinking at that point. But now the day is coming and gone, and you've run out. What'd you do with it? Well, I was gonna. Every time somebody starts with "I was gonna," well, I thought about what that means. Yes, somebody didn't do anything. They didn't do anything with their time. They wasted it. That's what they're saying. I was gonna. I thought I might do so and so bad. They didn't do it. And their time now. What's your time now? It's gone. You couldn't save it, and you can't reuse it. Wouldn't you love to get some of that back? Wouldn't you? I would love to get back some of the time that I squandered. I wasn't reading. I wasn't studying. I wasn't thinking. I wasn't doing anything for anybody. I was just daydreaming, lollygagging, goofing off. How I would love to have that time back to do something with it. I just can't get it. When it's gone, it's gone forever. Well, what I can do, though, assuming that I get another shot at tomorrow, I can do better with my time. Amen? If I would resolve not to use the computer as much, stay off Facebook, quit sending stupid, empty-headed emails and all that nonsense and text messages, and do something for somebody, read a little, pray a little, witness a little, do good for somebody, get a little work accomplished. That was a routine, that wasn't it? How upside down would your routine be tomorrow if you actually got up and got busy? Somebody once said, to kill time is by definition to murder it. That's a pretty profound thought. To kill time is by definition to murder it. Let me leave you with this. Some wise man wrote this. I didn't write this. I found it in a little old book somewhere years ago, and it summed it up. If you're talking about time, I never heard it summed up any better than this. Spend your time in nothing which you know must be repented of. In nothing on which you may not pray the blessing of God. Don't do anything. Don't spend any time doing anything that you can't pray for God to bless it. Spend your time in nothing which you could not review with a quiet conscience. If it's going to keep you awake tonight, don't do it. Don't spend any time at it. Don't spend any time in anything that will disquiet your conscience. That's good advice. How about this? Spend your time in nothing that you could not review in a quiet conscience on your dying bed. Spend your time in nothing which you might not safely and properly be found doing if death should surprise you in the act. Don't do anything you would be ashamed to be found doing if you drop dead doing it. That's just four little things, but my goodness. If we practice those four things, if you never did anything, if you never spent any time doing anything, you couldn't ask God to put His blessing on. He has to turn a lot of TV programs off. Amen? There'd be a lot of places you couldn't go, and there'd be a lot of clothes you couldn't wear. Amen? You reckon a girl could go down to Myrtle Beach and stand there in her modest two-piece bathing suit and ask God to bless it? I don't think I could. Amen? How do you spend your time? You got time on your hands? You got time left to live? Let's make the most of our time. It will soon be gone. Only one life to live will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Everything else is a waste of time. All right, Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy. I pray, oh God, You'd help us to be more aware of how we spend, or better yet, how we squander our time. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.